Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening in on talk radio network stations around the country and the flagship studio here at TalkingAlternative.com. I'm here in the studio with my buddy Sam. We're flying solo today, no Janice, but we've got a great episode for you here today. We're going to be talking about a variety of subjects. Last week, we ran a rerun of the show because Big Daddy was on the road, baby. I was killing life, so we're going to be talking about my crazy life, the life of Kevin Barbaro, baby. We're also going to be talking about revisiting the Babushka Lady, as we talked about last week, and answering some fan mail on that. We're going to be talking about the takedown and capture of those guys up in upstate New York, which we talked about on the last live episode. And we're going to be talking about my cat, Rocky the Cat, and his fourth escape now and recapture. So, matter of fact, he's probably more elusive than those dudes up in upstate New York, man. But before we get started with all that, we have a brand new sponsor here on Coffee Talk 3.0, and I want to give them a shout-out right now. And this show is sponsored by WiseFoodStorage.com. Are you prepared for the unknown? How would you feed your family in a major disaster such as a tornado, earthquake, or a hurricane, or even a personal emergency such as a power outage or job loss? The world is an increasingly unstable and unpredictable place, which is why I would like to introduce you to my friends at WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides affordable gourmet ready-made meals for emergency preparedness with, get this, Sam, a 25-year shelf life. 25 years, buddy. What's more, it tastes great, and all you have to do to prepare these meals is add water. They have entrees like pasta Alfredo, cheesy lasagna, and savory stroganoff, as well as great-tasting breakfast desserts, drinks, and snacks. Best of all, you don't have to take my word for it, although you should. You can try it out for yourself and see. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-827-WISE and request a free sample today. Again, that's WiseFoodStorage.com or 855-827-WISE. In addition, for a limited time, enter the promo code Doyle, because they're also a proud sponsor of Jerry Doyle's show, which is one of the top 10 talk shows in the country, available here on Talk Radio Network. Enter the promo code Doyle, and you'll get 10% off and free shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-827-WISE. And be sure to mention the promo code Doyle and receive a free sample, 10% off, and free shipping on any order. Be wise, be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com. We're raking up the promos here, baby. Gotta love it, brother. And later on today, of course, we'll have our ILoveKickboxing.com fitness tip of the week, and et cetera, including our social media giveaway of the week. So anyway, my crazy life, which is what we're starting off with here, man. The reason why we had to go with a replay last week was because we were filming the pilot of Long Island Lights, which we had been talking about a couple of weeks ago. I had my buddy AJ Scordio in here and the writer and director of it. And we put together, about 2 months ago, we filmed several of the scenes, the kind of precursor scenes in the beginning of the pilot. And then this past week, we filmed all the rest of it. And dude, it was... Sam, it's going to be funny, man. I'm telling you right now. Actually, there was one part, and even last night, literally, I'm not even joking. Last night, I was sitting there, and I was thinking about Long Island Lights, and I was thinking about what we had filmed and everything. And there's one scene where we're like in this limo, and it's me and AJ's character. My character's name is Rick. His character's name is James. And this other guy, Nico, and his character's name is Marco. So Rick, James, and Marco are all in this limo, and they're having this conversation because they're on their way to a half-Jewish, half-Catholic wedding. And Rick and Marco are trying to explain to James, you know, you shouldn't make any Jewish jokes, you know. And James, who's like the straight-laced guy, is like, well, why would I make any Jewish jokes, you know, one of these deals, you know what I mean? And then my character says something along the lines of like, yeah, and whatever you do, don't call the wedding a pizza bagel, right? And Marco goes, yeah, we kind of learned that the hard way. And then jokingly, off the cuff, you know, my James's character looks at me and goes, gosh, you know, or he says like facetiously, I don't know what I'm going to talk about now. And my character looks at him with this straight face and says, I know, right? And it's supposed to be like this thing where like where my character is also trying to figure out, basically saying like, well, what the heck are we going to talk about? And I, for the life of me, I couldn't pull it off with a straight face because I just know how ridiculous it sounds, you know? And so even last night I was sitting there and I was just thinking about it and I just started laughing to myself because it took us like 10 minutes because then at that point everybody just starts laughing because, you know, it's one of those things where I can't even say the line to James by looking at him. Because he's just laughing and because he knows that he's not in the frame, you know. So it's just the whole show is just ridiculous. We had such a great time. But I'm telling you, like with anything, you know, there's always the unknown, you know, and there's always something that's going to come up and you've got to cover for it. And I'm only an actor on the show. Of course, I contribute on the writing side of it, particularly with the situations and the comedy, et cetera. But like, for instance, I get a call 11 o'clock at night, the night before we're supposed to do the first day of shooting. The first day of shooting was actually at the Riverhead Penitentiary. It's a prison facility out in Riverhead, Long Island, which is way out, for those people not around here, way out to the east, almost to the end of Long Island. And the PA, which is a production assistant, which is basically the guy that does all the grunt work, he drove, they rented a big, you know, you got to get those big box trucks because there's so much equipment when you're filming something like this. And he got to AJ's home, which is in on the North Shore on Long Island in Sands Point, and he was horrified. You know, he had to drive this box truck through Brooklyn, and then he didn't know, you know, he's probably I don't even know who the kid was because he ended up getting fired, but he's probably like, you know, 23, 24 years old or whatever. And he didn't know he couldn't drive on a parkway, which he was smart enough when he got there and saw the signs, unlike about, you know, 50 to 100 people a year in Long Island who ignore every sign and flashing light and pull on with these large trucks and get wedged under bridges. He got there, he saw the, you know, and so then he had to find his way. Well, of course, your GPS doesn't really give you an alternate route. It will give you the fastest route or the shortest route. But a normal GPS does not take into account the fact that you can't be on a parkway in a truck. And so you kind of got to just find your way. And so it took the guy like, oh, man, it took him. It took him like 13 hours. You can almost close your eyes and guess and get there faster than that. Let's be real. But it took him like a ridiculous amount of time. So AJ calls me up at 11 o'clock. He's like, dude, any chance you can drive the box truck? Like, I know it's not, you know. And I was like, dude, yeah, man. I drive. You're talking about the king of road trips. And I've driven a pretty much everything, man. I've driven a tractor. I can drive anything. So, you know, you got to step up to the plate, baby, and get things done. But, you know, there was always, like, little things happening. So, you know, you got extras, background people not showing up every once in a while. We had like this situation that popped up randomly where the sprinkler system came on a timer in the place that we were at, and nobody knew how to turn it off. And of course, everybody's stuff gets soaked, and including equipment and some iPhones, and you know, little. And then you got to deal with just honestly, Sam. You got to deal with humans, and they're not everybody is going to share the same vision, drive, work ethic that you are, and you're always going to run into one guy. You know, there's always one guy every time. I'm not going to say which guy it is, of course, but it's always just one dude who just can't stop complaining about how long it's taking, or God, it's hot out, or oh my gosh, we got to do another take, and blah blah blah. And it's just like it puts a damper on the day a little bit if you let it. Of course, Kevin Barbaro doesn't let it happen, brother. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, in any event, it was great. And so we filmed all week. And then I have this contract with Safety Smart Videos, which is out of Tacoma, Washington. And we film, they make instructional videos for these factories and warehouses and et cetera all over the U.S. and all over Canada. And I have a contract to do like 12 of these videos over the next 4 months. And so I had to go, I finished filming, and I had a 1 day to rest, man. I had 1 day to relax, and then I went and filmed in Boston on Monday and Tuesday, And then now I'm back here. We're taping the show on Wednesday, and then I'm going back to Boston tomorrow on Thursday. And then it's going to be the 4th of July weekend, man. And let me tell you exactly what I'm going to do for the 4th of July weekend, which is when everybody's listening to this. Exactly, brother. I'm going to sleep. Anybody that knows me knows I'm also going to drink. And I'm Italian, so I'm going to be baking my skin probably at Jones Beach. Hopefully it'll be nice weather out, man. But and a happy 4th of July weekend to everybody listening in. And be vigilant. Man, it's been a crazy week, man. You saw about last week here with Tunisia, where there was the terrorist attack. Yeah. Oh, man. I know what happened was at a resort. These, I don't necessarily know if it was ISIS or not, but anyway, all indications were, it seems as though that it was ISIS. They went in, machine guns, a resort, went to the pool, went to the beach, and just started literally indiscriminately killing tourists. I want to say over 38 tourists were killed and a bunch were hurt. And I mean, it's just horrific. You know, here's the thing with that stuff, man. And of course, I don't condone any violence whatsoever, but I can see how people would justify the act of war or fighting or killing over religion. Because if you look back over all of mankind, that has been the kind of root, although we all know that that's not the real reason why people do this. But you can almost, you don't agree with it ever, but you can almost, well, I kind of get what they're trying to say here. But when you just go to a tourist area and you just randomly and indiscriminately shoot at people that have nothing more than a bathing suit on, pose no threat to you, no threat to your religion, they're tourists just laying around, you don't even know if they are Christians, Jews, whatever, you have Muslim, you have no idea because you're just indiscriminately shooting at people. And that's just coward. That's just that is insane to me. There is no rationale for that. You can't even put that under the umbrella of we're fighting for this or that. You're not even fighting. That's not even, a fight is between two people. You know, a fight is when there's a back and forth, just completely, you know, killing and murdering people indiscriminately. That's not fighting, you know, and it's just ridiculous. So in any event, for those people listening in all over the country, you're going to be listening on Sunday, obviously, as you're wrapping up 4th of July weekend, you got to be vigilant. And this is what we do in New York City, man. We say, listen, man, if it looks effed up, it probably is effed up. And if you see something, you say something, right? That's how we survive here in New York because, you know, we're a major target. So, listen, happy 4th of July to everybody. We'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, including upstate New York. We're going to be talking about my cat. And we're going to be talking about the babushka lady. So join me here in just a couple of minutes. I'm Kevin Barbaro. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0 on Talk Radio Networks and TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
What are the latest travel trends? How can travel be a part of your overall health and wellness plan? This is William Paris, lifestyle travel consultant and your host on Travel and Wellness Today. Join me on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time for travel chat, travel tips, and travel news updates. That's on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening in on Talk Radio Network stations around the country. And this segment is sponsored by Ramada Inn. If you're traveling into or out of JFK or LaGuardia airports, give the friendly folks at Ramada Inn Rockville Center a call at 516-678-1100. That's 516-678-1100. Ask for the manager, Dave. Dave is a buddy of Coffee Talk 3.0 and coffeetalkradio.com, and they'll give you the best rate possible. Conveniently located off the Southern State Parkway and the Long Island Railroad, you can get to any destination easily from Manhattan to the Hamptons. 516-678-1100. That's 516-678-1100, or go to coffeetalkradio.com. So getting back, we're talking about the babushka lady. So the general context of our conversation was that there are certain things that have happened throughout history that go kind of unexplained, and when you look at all of these different unexplained things that we can only explain through theory, not hard facts, you start to wonder if there isn't so much more to the universe than we even perceive or want to acknowledge, a lot of people, I think. And there are certain things that you can't deny. And some of those things that you can't deny is that there are mysteries out there. And, you know, it's a lot of people, I think that, first of all, we're so narcissistic as humans to think that we are the only intelligent beings in this universe. And anybody that is a hard line believes that, and oh, there's no way that there's life anywhere else, and et cetera, et cetera, these people live in a little tiny tunnel that I don't think is reasonable. You have to be reasonable enough to assume that there are other things out there that we can't understand. Well, we were having the conversation about UFOs, which I definitely do believe in. I do believe there's life out there. And we were talking about the fact that my theory is that in addition to believing that there is life out there, I believe, and people can think I'm kooky or whatever, but I'm actually pretty sane, dude, but I believe that eventually in human history, not history, but human mankind to come, the future, I believe that we figure out how to go back in time. I really believe that. And so I think that some things that we see, artifacts that we see, hieroglyphics, carvings, you know, trinkets that we find that are dated to 4,000 or 5,000 years ago that depict humans doing things like flying and things like this, I actually kind of think, well, maybe some of these are like Planet of the Apes. It's actually us. It's actually Earth. It's not aliens, you know? And one of those things that some people subscribe to is the Babushka Lady. The Babushka Lady was filmed at the Kennedy assassination in November of 1963, standing out in the plaza, which was across the street from the library, and she is completely calm while all this chaos is happening around her. She's called the Babushka Lady because in Russian, babushka means grandma. And she's wearing a scarf over her head. She looks like she's a grandmother, okay? Well, we had the discussion a couple weeks ago, and you can go to coffeetalkradio.com and get the archive for that episode. But I got an email from a fan who listened to the show in Connecticut, a guy named Charles Fisher. And he was saying that in 1970, a woman by the name of Beverly Oliver came forward and said that she was the Babushka Lady. And I did know that. I did know that there was somebody that had come forward and said, but I also know that she's never been recognized by the FBI, the CIA, which doesn't really mean much, but she's also been recognized in Senate hearings since then as being not credible. Okay, here's the deal for Charles and anybody else that's ever heard of Beverly Oliver. With regards to the assassination, okay, the assassination happened on November 22nd, 1963, okay? And this woman, Beverly Oliver, claimed later, years later, that she was the babushka lady, okay? And that the FBI and the CIA had come to her, taken her camera, because she was taking shots. You can see that she was taking video, actually. She had what she claimed was an 8mm video camera, not an 8mm still shot camera, okay? She claims that they came and they took it from her a couple of days later, and then, you know, that was it, okay? Well, fast forward, she begins telling the story. Well, you know, over time, there were hearings in the U.S. Senate. As a matter of fact, in 1979, the U.S. Selection Committee on Assassinations had met and discussed this, the Kennedy assassination, including Beverly Oliver herself, and the Assassination Records Review Board in 1994. And they had talked to her and heard her stories. And the problem was with Beverly Oliver, this is for Charles and anybody else listening, the problem was that it was determined that she's not credible. Now, this is the deal with Beverly Oliver, okay? Beverly Oliver, at the time this was happening, was only 17 years old. Okay, she was 17 years old. She worked in a strip club. The strip club was called, let me make sure that I get this right, but the strip club was actually right next door to, she worked at the Colony Club, okay, which was right next door to the Carousel Club in Austin. Okay, and Austin. Yeah, Austin. Dallas, yeah. What the heck am I talking about, man? I'm thinking of two different stories at the same time. So in Dallas, the Carousel Club and the Colony Club were next door to each other. She was 17 years old, which I don't know if it's ever been legal for a 17-year-old ever to work in a strip club, you know. But A of all, look at the photos of the babushka lady. This is clearly a heavy-set older woman. You can see from the photos, but Beverly Oliver was only 17-year-old girl who was working in a strip club at the time. Okay, now the she worked at the Colony Club. The Carousel Club was right next door, and Carousel Club was owned by a gentleman by the name of Jacob Leon Rubenstein, which in real life is also known as Jack Ruby. Okay, so Jack Ruby owned the strip club right next door. Jack Ruby, of course, is the man that days later had shot and killed Lee Harvey Oswald and then subsequently died of complications from lung cancer only a few years later. I mean, he was convicted, sentenced to death, and then it ultimately overturned. The death penalty was overturned, but I mean, he ended up dying anyway. So in any event, one of the things that makes her story not so credible, on top of the fact that her physical appearance, is the fact that she claimed that she filmed everything on what was a Yashica Super 8 zoom camera. That's what she claimed that she had. And she had been claiming this all through the 1970s, all through the 1980s, all the way up until 1993. She kept claiming that she filmed this on a Yashica Super 8 zoom camera. And she made that to researchers and et cetera. And then in 1993, which would be the, you know, 30th anniversary of the assassination, at the Dealey Plaza across, you know, the plaza across the street, she had made the claim again. And she had brought a Yashica company employee there to corroborate her story. Well, the problem was the guy that she brought to corroborate the story didn't actually corroborate the story. He said we started selling the camera in 1967, and a prototype was available in 1965. Well, of course, the assassination happened in 1963, which is when she claims that she had this camera. And the guy from the company said, well, you know, we're looking into it. We think that there was a prototype available in 1963. Now, in subsequent years, they've never come back and been able to verify at all that that camera existed in 1963. On top of that, even if it did exist, Sam, what are the odds that a 17-year-old girl working in a strip club has an original prototype of this camera? I mean, it's a pretty big quantum leap to think that person in that lifestyle at that age would have a prototype camera that's not going to be on the shelf for, 4 years after that. So then after the 1993, then she started backtracking and she changed her story. And now she denies that she ever said that, but it's been on record with multiple researchers that she told them independently that that was the camera that she had. And then, then subsequent stories that she has told since then about the CIA coming to her, and also little things, too, about she claims that she had intimate knowledge of the fact that Jack Ruby, Lee Harvey Oswald all knew each other and et cetera, which turns out the dates of everything that she has given them, they don't match up. So they even came right out and said, during the Senate hearings, there's actually no credible evidence that says that she is. And actually, some people have said, well, she may be the woman in the photo, okay, because you can't completely discredit the fact that maybe she is. Even if she is the woman in the photo, everything else that she has said about it is fabricated. So since everything else is fabricated, the likelihood of her being the person in the photo is slim, and so that's why the babushka lady's identity still remains a mystery, even though somebody has come forward and said, I'm that lady. You know what I mean? So that's for Charles that had written in. And there's a lot, there's a lot of times that happens in history where somebody comes forward, claim to have done something or be someone, and they're not, because why else? Fame. Exactly. You put yourself in the spotlight. You have a life that has gone, you started your life as working in a strip club at 17 years old. I don't know what Beverly Oliver did with the rest of her life, but didn't get off on a very good start, obviously. And what, why not grab some attention? Why not grab a spotlight? And, it's kind of like, we were talking about with the Spokane situation with the NAACP. Maybe the person really believes then it happened. If you don't think you're lying, then, are you really lying? The Seinfeld, hey, Jerry, it's only a lie if you believe it's a lie. But so that's kind of like wrapping up the whole thing with the babushka lady. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of things. I was actually going to start talking this week. I'm not going to start talking about it because we got other things to talk about today, including the prison break and subsequent taking down and capture of one of the guys. One was shot down, and the other one was captured of the prisoners from upstate New York. And then also we're going to talk about my buddy Rocky. So, but in subsequent weeks here, I do want to talk about some other mysteries because I'm telling you, my favorite show is Ancient Aliens. I'm telling you, you got to watch the show, man. And there are people out there like, oh my gosh, that show's so kooky. Even if you think it's kooky, man, watch it one time and then come back to me and tell me that it doesn't at least spark your interest in finding out why, for instance, these little drawings that have existed all through history of some type of creature with a big head and big eyes exist on the continents in China and in Africa and in South America, and these people had no way of communicating with each other, but they're drawing the same thing. I'll just leave it at that right now, brother. So, this is Kevin Barbaro. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0 on talk radio network stations around the country and talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you on a path of consciousness or spirit? Is personal or spiritual empowerment important to you? I'm Sam Leibowitz, your conscious consultant, and I am here to answer your questions and bring you experts in all areas of life to raise your awareness and support you in your evolution. Tune in at my new time, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on www.talkradio.nyc. That's Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everyone, to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you can check out our archives on coffeetalkradio.com. Make sure you check it out also to not only listen to the archives or the replay of this show, but there's a lot of deals and discounts you can get from the sponsors of Coffee Talk 3.0 and coffeetalkradio.com, and so go check that out when you get an opportunity to, and also for the social media giveaway of the week, you can also get it off of there. Getting back, we were talking about UFOs and, you know, things that are unexplained, so to speak. And I was just telling Sam in the break here, I was actually driving on Interstate 80 one time. This is about 2 years ago when I was commuting back and forth from Ohio to New York City. And middle of the night, middle of nowhere, all of a sudden I see about a dozen or so of these red lights floating up in the air over Interstate 80. And to the point where, because I was in the middle of nowhere, I end up calling 911 because I don't know what these things are, but it seems as though they're floating over the interstate, and this is the middle of the night. Well, as it turns out, 911, I wasn't the only person that called 911, and as it turned out, it was these little Chinese, I think they're Chinese, is it Chinese? Or Asian for sure, you know, little lanterns, you know, and you put a candle in it, and the heat from the candle, it lights up the little paper, you know, balloon, and it floats off into the air. So because it was the middle of the night, I couldn't tell if it was something really big and red in the distance or if it was something small that was fairly close to me. As it turns out, it was just something small that was close to me. But that also brings me to a conversation that we actually had. I was telling this story on Facebook. We were leaving the filming site. We were filming in on the North Shore in Sands Point. We were filming like this big wedding scene. Went till about 10:30 at night, and myself and Nico, who plays Marco in Long Island Lights, we were leaving. Now, AJ, who his family owns a mansion on Sands Point Golf Course. Okay, it's actually the Fleischman's Mansion from back in the early 1900s, as in Fleischman's Whiskey. So we're leaving there, and of course, all of their neighbors have houses that are similar. We get to the end of his road, and as we're pulling up to the stop sign, this person walks by in a hoodie. It's like 85 degrees out still. It's night, you know, but it's warm. Walks by in a hoodie, sweatpants, sunglasses, and a big bag over the shoulder. Now, I couldn't tell if it was a woman or a guy, and even after we drove off, I couldn't tell if it was a woman or a guy. It could have been a skinny guy with a slightly feminine voice, or it could have been an older woman with a slightly gravelly voice. I couldn't really tell because the person was in a hoodie at 10:30 at night wearing sunglasses. So I roll up to the person. I'm not afraid of anybody, okay? So not to say I've never been scared, but I'm not afraid of anything. So I roll up. I roll down the passenger side window, and I immediately say, "What the F are you doing?" Like, that was my greeting. And the person's like, "Wait, I'm sorry. Did I scare you?" And I'm like, "Hell no, you didn't scare me. But what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? It's 10:30 at night. What are you walking around this neighborhood for with a hoodie and sunglasses on?" And the person's like, "Oh, yeah, I guess they do look a little ridiculous," and took the sunglasses off. And still to this point, we can't, because I got a hoodie on. I can't really tell what this person's doing. And I was like, "Why are you in this neighborhood right now? Multi-million dollar homes, wearing a hoodie at 85 degrees and sunglasses at 10:30 at night with a big bag. Do you live here?" And the person goes, and I interrupt the person. I'm like, "No, you don't." And the person goes, "Well, actually, I'm one of your neighbors." And I interrupt them before they get the whole thing out. I said, "No, you're not." And the person just stands there with like this blank look. And I was like, "Listen, I don't know what you're doing here, but in this kind of neighborhood, you're probably going to get shot. Okay, so my advice to you is don't get shot." We drove off. And we were so weirded out because it was like, what is this person doing? Why is this person in the middle of the night, probably stealing things is what I think, you know. There's no way that that person lives in that neighborhood, let's be honest, okay? So anyways, we're driving off. I go to Nico, I say, "Dude, what would be the scariest thing that you could see right now? What would be you know, because it could be kind of scary to see that person." It's like, "What would be the scariest thing?" And I can't remember what he said would be the scariest thing. And it would have been pretty scary. Oh, I know what it was. He said that if we were driving and we saw this dark shadow up ahead of us in the headlights, but the shadow was actually vertical and not laying down horizontally, that we saw this dark, shadowy figure, and as we drive through it, it disappears. He felt as though that would probably be the scariest thing. I agreed. That would be pretty scary. But I said, "You know what would be kind of scary?" I said, "It would be a UFO. I think a UFO in the middle of the night in the North Shore would be kind of scary in the middle of nowhere." And he's like, "Really? One UFO would scare you?" And I'm like, "You know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe one UFO wouldn't scare me. But you know what would scare me? 100 UFOs. 100 UFOs, I think, would scare me. One, I don't think I'd be scared of. I would be intrigued, maybe nervous. I don't necessarily think I'd be scared. But if there were 100... I'd be scared. You know, if there were 100, that means we're done. I mean, what are you going to do at that point? You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm wrapping up the UFO talk for today and we're moving on. We're actually going to talk real quickly about what we were talking about a couple weeks ago, which obviously was the prison break in upstate New York. We had this conversation before and I said on the show, I don't think these guys are going to Vermont. The initial first thing was they were supposed to go to Vermont. That's what it's just some cabin in Vermont. That's what they were saying. And I said, I don't think that that's possible. You can't get on foot. You cannot get from New York to Vermont, particularly on the Lamb, unless you go all the way down and around Lake Champlain. And you still got to cross the Hudson River, even when you get down through there. Okay. And anybody that's ever taken the train from New York to Albany will tell you there's no way you're swimming across that river, okay? So, and I don't think that you can get into Canada. I know that people were talking about, like, they're going to go to Canada, they're going to disappear. But I've always said, why go to Canada? Why in a million years would you go to Canada? Because you have just as likely of a chance of getting arrested in Canada as you have in the United States. So you might as well stay in the United States. My thought was, if they're dumb, they'll go to Canada. Well, fast forward, okay? First of all, as the whole thing ended up turning out, you know, they ended up capturing David Sweat, okay? That's who they just captured. And Richard Matt was the guy they ended up getting killed in the gunfire. He was shot 3 times in the head. Obviously, he was deceased. As it turned out, and I said this too, I thought, why stay together? I think staying together is a mistake. Why would you stay together? I would, first of all, you're trusting somebody who is in prison with you, okay, who's killed somebody, who killed his business partner, for God's sakes, okay? As in Richard Matt, I was thinking that, and I was saying on the show, I think that they're going to split up. Why wouldn't you split up? Well, as it turned out, they did split up, okay? And part of it was that David Sweat is a younger guy. Richard Matt was older, and he was slowing him down. And when they found him, he had bloody socks, he had welts and blisters on his feet. Obviously, he wasn't very mobile. And on top of that, there was evidence to suggest that he had been sick. He had eaten some sort of contaminated food or water, which means that he had been either throwing up or, you know, the other end. And so there was evidence to that effect. And when they did find him, and they did end up shooting him and killing him, he reeked of alcohol. And because he had stolen some alcohol from a cabin that they had broken into. Interestingly, though, well, and then with Richard Sweat, you know, he left him about a week ago. He almost made it to Canada, which I think was a mistake on his part, obviously. Anyway, because what people don't realize, as I said before, is there's a physical border at Canada that even though you think that you're just going to walk through and cut through the thick of the woods, that's not the way the Canadian border works. There is literally a path that is gouged out of the forest all the way from Maine all the way to Washington, that anytime you go across that border, it's not woods. There is an open actual border. That open actual border, hello, this is a manhunt for a guy. They're going to be... You're an idiot for even trying it, man, because as soon as you get there, there's motion detectors, there's cameras, there's dogs, there's people on ATVs and everything else. They're going to be trying to control that border as much as possible. Even in the middle of the night, they got night vision. There's no way you're making it across the Canadian. This is why criminals get caught, man. Okay? Because they're idiots, man. The guy's an idiot. So, as it also turns out, right? Now he's given up the information. So he's at the Albany Hospital. He's in a secluded wing. He's the only person in the entire wing. Chances are he's not returning to Clinton County because to Dannemora, because obviously he won't make it. He's toxic now, particularly because he's starting to give up information. He'll be killed by a guard. He'll be killed by other inmates, etc. So there's no way he's going to go back to there. But he's starting to tell the story. So, you know, shockingly, okay, they practiced the escape the night before. So the night before they escaped, they went through the entire process and they made it all the way to the manhole. Now, those dudes could have hit the bricks right then, okay, but they didn't have an escape car, but they didn't know ultimately they'd have no escape car anyway. But they get there and it was a different manhole. And the manhole they got to, they didn't think was secluded enough, so they went back and they found another manhole that was further out. Okay? So then they go back, they go to bed, they go through the entire process of being in prison for the next day, and then they escape the next night. Now, this is what I said before. No way, there's no way that only that woman, Taylor, was helping them, because in a million years, how could she have helped them figure out which pipes to carve into to get into these manholes? I mean, you have no idea where all these pipes are going. You have no idea. You've never been in the walls of the prison. You have no idea. Somebody had to tell you or give you information on how to get out of there. They've been planning it since January, they're saying, but there's no way that only that Taylor was involved with this. And now three administrators have been put on leave, and nine security people have been put on leave. One has been arrested, but they're not sure if they're going to indict him, because Richard Sweat has said that the one that they've already arrested, and I think I have his name here, one of the ones that they had arrested is Gene Palmer is the guy's name. He's been arrested. He faces they're going to grand jury in Clinton County to determine if there's enough evidence to indict him. But Richard Sweat David Sweat is saying he didn't have anything to do with it. So, but it'll be interesting as things play out for the next week or so. So anyway, we'll be back here in a couple of minutes. I'm Kevin Barbaro. You're listening to Coffee Talk 3.0.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
What are the latest travel trends? How can travel be a part of your overall health and wellness plan? This is William Paris, lifestyle travel consultant and your host on Travel and Wellness Today. Join me on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time for travel chat, travel tips, and travel news updates. That's on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Dude. Transforming Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com. It's the Dudes of Disruption.
The Dudes of Disruption is a new show geared toward the global tribe of disruptors who are committed to interrupting the automatic ways of their lives so they go out and leave their mark on the world powerfully.
Consider every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com, forever disrupted. The Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics.
Dude.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee Talk 3.0. I'm Kevin Barbaro, and you're listening on talk radio network stations around the country. We're just wrapping up the talk about the capture of David Sweat, the prisoner, one of the two prisoners. The other one, Richard Matt, was shot and killed by police officers. And just the ridiculousness of the entire situation. Well, the one thing I did want to mention, the entire prison now is under investigation because they're starting to unravel all these other problems that were going on in the prison, including drug trafficking. Drug trafficking to the prisoners, with heroin particularly. That's, you know, heroin, you're not just making that, you know, in your prison cell in the sink. You know, that has to find its way into the prison, and it's got to find its way into the prison past multitudes of guards. So without a doubt, there's going to be a wide-reaching, and actually a couple of prisoners from the prison there in Dannemora have said on CNN that every prison they've ever been to, there is drug use. And so, you know, if you're gonna tackle the problem, this is a problem in every prison. And I can kind of see that. You know what I mean? I can see it. Well, speaking of escapes, okay, we're gonna talk a little bit here about my boy Rocky. Okay, so this has been I've had a tough few months, man. Over the course of a few months, lost a girlfriend, long term, and you know, was kind of reeling from that. Then I had to put down Tommy Lee, my dog. He had cancer, and that was brutal. That was, I tell you, being in there when that happened was ridiculous. Well, when I came back to Long Island, I had Rocky with me. I came back from Long Island from putting Tommy down, and you know, just you know, kind of. You know, I'm a glass half full guy, man. I've been through a lot, as we've talked about on this show, and I've been through some major stuff, and I always get through it because we always do. You learn how to deal and cope. But the one thing that kind of like, you know, brightens my day is Rocky, my cat that I had rescued. Well, anyway, I get back, and the next morning after I get back, I realize that I had left one of the windows open slightly or too much, and he had gotten out. and he was gone again for 10 days. Now, the longest he's been gone, he's gotten out a couple of times. The longest he's been gone was 2 weeks. That was over Christmas when I found him on Christmas Eve. And this time he was gone for 10 days. Well, as it happened, like it's happened with every other time that I've refound him, it's like this fate type of situation. You know, I was leaving to go to Boston so I could film the safety video. Well, I had procrastinated about leaving, and then I finally was getting ready to leave, and it wasn't even at the time that I was going to leave. It was maybe like an hour after the time I was going to leave. And really, looking back, I had no reason to procrastinate. I just kind of sitting around at my place, you know what I mean? So I walk out, I get in the car, and as I'm getting ready to drive off, my buddy Manny lives across the street from my place. I look across the street, and Manny's wife feeds stray cats. She puts a little thing of food out. I look over, and there's Rocky. And he's laying in the driveway, and I can see that he's looking at something. Manny's got this huge black Suburban SUV. And so I can't see what Rocky's looking at, but he's laying there, and I can see he's looking around the corner of the tire at something. And as I'm walking over there, I can see then that there's a plate of food, and there's a gray cat eating the food, and Rocky was, you know, waiting his turn, essentially. And so I walk over, and I yell to him, and brightened my entire week. He came running up to me, like, meow, 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 meow. Like, he was just, like, you know, talking the whole time. You know, I picked him, and so skinny, man. He lost a lot of weight over the course of the 10 days that he was missing. And he had been in some fights. That's just how we do it, man. You know, he had some scrapes on his head, and he had already lost a toenail a few months ago when him and Tommy got into it. He lost a toenail because he tried to get away from Tommy so quickly up some wooden stairs that one of his toenails stuck in the stairwell. And now it looks like he's got either a broken toenail or a broken toe or something, you know, from some fight that he's got in. The thing's just pointing due north. But in any event, I got to take him to the vet today to get him checked out because who knows who he's been in a fight with. But the interesting story about Rocky, and I've told the story before we were on national syndication. I'll tell the story briefly again. It's ridiculous. So anyway, I was volunteering and helping out with a cat rescue up in Mount Vernon, New York, which is just north of the Bronx. What we did was we TNR, which is trap, neuter, release. We look for friendly cats. There's a huge overpopulation of stray cats. You look for friendly cats that can be adopted out as long as they're healthy. And we're also looking to kind of track the stray cats that are there. So there were 36 feeding stations around the town. You put a little bit of food out every night and the cats get used to going there. And then usually what'll end up happening is you don't always see the cats because, you know, the cats are great hiders, man. I mean, they'll hide anywhere, but they'll come out to eat. So if you kind of drive around, you go to the different spots, and every once in a while you see a cat. We have a computer program, and we track the different cats. If you see a new one, you try to determine if it's friendly, which you'll know in 30 seconds if it's friendly. If it's friendly, we take it, and we get it tested for FIV, which is the feline version of HIV, not communicable to humans, but communicable within each other. And then also leukemia. Leukemia and HIV, or FIV for cats, are the two main diseases that cats carry and pass along to each other. So when we find a cat, if it's adoptable and doesn't have those diseases, then it's adopted out of the Mount Vernon Animal Shelter. If it's got one of those two diseases, then, or sometimes both, unfortunately, then humanely it needs to be put down because its life is not going to be, you know, very good. And just a lot of pain, and you don't want it spreading the disease. But if it's not adoptable, but disease-free, what we would do is we would have them spayed or neutered. And because we keep track of where the cats are found, we literally just take the cat back and we put it back where we found it, okay? It's just part of the environment at that point. I don't call them feral cats. I call them independent cats. So they have no use for us as humans, and why should they? You know, what makes us so special? So anyway, I find Rocky one night, and I take him, and we go to a grocery store so I can get a flea collar and some flea spray, put the flea collar on him, go to spray him with the flea spray. He gets scared, runs out of the car, gone. Okay. And so for 6 months, I was looking for that cat. And I happened to go, after filming a commercial, I go on a day I'm not supposed to feed. I'm in a part of the town that I normally wouldn't even be in at that time because I'm kind of cutting through. And walking in front of me goes this little bitty black and white cat with a green flea collar on. And that's Rocky, okay? A mile and a half from where I lost him 6 months before that. So I take him home with me. When I take him home with me, he ends up getting out. He's gone for 2 weeks. I find him on Christmas Eve night. He rolls up to the door. It's pouring rain out. All right. Like 3 weeks later, the dude gets out again. The next time he's gone for like 5 days. Okay. And for the life of me, I couldn't figure out how he kept getting out. And then finally I figured out how he kept getting out. Okay. So then fast forward to this week and I leave the window open too much and he gets out for 10 days. It's the fourth time that cat has been lost. And the fourth time, thankfully, that I've found that cat, and I'll tell you, I took him with me to Boston, you know, because he's the only cat I've ever seen that loves riding in the car. Every time I roll up to a grocery store or something, people are like, oh my God, what's your cat? You've got like the coolest cat ever. I'm like, dude, I know. I got the coolest cat ever. No cats like riding in cars. So every once in a while, he'll put his paws up on the window, and he'll look out the window like a dog. But I'll tell you, he was so exhausted. The dude slept from Long Island all the way to Boston on his back. You know, when a cat sleeps, cats are like babies. When they sleep on their backs, that means that they're comfortable and they feel safe. You know what I mean? And typical of cats and babies, they work on forever and never, right? So when you're leaving, you're never coming back. But when you come back, it's like you've always been there. You're there forever. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's my story. That's all of my stories for this week. But tune in back here next week for another episode of Coffee Talk 3.0, I'm Kevin Barbaro. Make sure you check out the website, coffeetalkradio.com, and we'll see you next week.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Have you ever decided to reinvent yourself? Are you navigating a new life's journey? Are you an aspiring artist that's looking for direction? This is Kevin Barbaro, and my new show, Coffee Talk 3.0, is your new best friend. Tune in live to hear successful professional artists and their inspiring real-life adventures Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, right here at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.TalkingAlternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.